Hello, dear friends. We're starting our Sunday webinar, as usual, with Dr. Michael Lightman. And all of a sudden, we have Tzipporah with us. And you'll find out why. Our current topic is the language of spiritual branches, Hebrew. And she's our main instructor of Hebrew. She has had 3 semesters already, and she's a great, great teacher. Rav, seriously? She has more students than I have? I selected some excerpts about her. Friends write, our results are amazing. From zero and with minimal efforts, I am able to understand grammar and hear and understand. This is not just the learning of the language, but a revelation of a new life. Another student is saying, people should give money to Bnei Baruch for this amazing advertising of the Hebrew language. Rav, wow, you are eternal. So I wanted to speak about this topic. Hebrew is not just a language. Rav, it's not just a language. It's not a language. So, first question, why did you say it's not a language? And second, why this particular language is a language of the spiritual world? Rav, yes, it is a language of the spiritual forces, forces that control our world. Hebrew is a code. It's multi-level, multi-layered code. It could be a code, an imaging of certain forces and their interaction between one another. It could be a language of feelings, a code of recording feelings. It could be an imaging of an intonation in a language. How does this called in Russian? Tamim. Tamim, tanta, these are tastes, intonations. Nikudat are lights which are in the letters. I have a lot of questions about these nikudot because it's not a revealed topic. Tamim, nikudot, tagin, crowns, and the letters themselves, otiyot. Rav, and aside from that, there are many, many other things. Yeah, let's say tanta, tamim, nikudot, otiyot. Each one of those is an entire entrance, an entrance into a humongous world. Let's say the world of music, of sounds, through tamim. We enter there through that. Then it's revealed to us in our 5 spheres of the mouth, the lips, the tongue, the teeth. I'm talking about the way sounds are produced. All of this needs to be written down. If you don't know a person at all, let's say you don't know what a person is, and you're given an image, a correct image of letters, then you can put a person together through his atoms. So our current modern Hebrew is not that same language, Rav. It's a vulgar language. It's a vulgar language. Please tell me, a person is looking, let's say, at these notes. I don't know much about music, but let's say a person that is able to sing. He listens to music. Rav, this doesn't have any relationship to Hebrew. Okay, so let's say he's listening to music. Within him, he hears music. When you look at Hebrew, truly look at it, what sounds do you feel on the inside? Rav, if a person can reproduce within himself whatever he sees in the text, but he enters it, goes inside through each one of these symbols, then, of course, for him, there is revealed an entire new world. and also through each different angle he sees a different minglings of the worlds. Why did you say that this is a universal language? Why? I said it because I don't want to apply any particular location to it, because it just seems small. Because here we mean forces that organize and influence our entire world from external. And these forces need to be somehow explained, reproduced, and recorded, passed on. These forces, yeah. Their correspondence with one another. For this, there is a recording for all of this. And this recording is very... There's a horizontal line, a period, a vertical line. Rough. Yeah, that's how you teach kids. In reality, everything is a lot more complex. What is a dot? What is a line? Please tell me, what is a dot? A dot is a revelation of a quality of reception in the huge light of the Creator called bestowal. A horizontal line is a horizontal line from left to right and from right to left. It's a line of chasadim. From up, down, down, up is the light of Chokhmah. This is already, if we'll be talking about. So a letter is a world, is an entire world. Rav, yes, each letter has its, it implies a certain world. Okay, so before I reveal for myself the sources, for I lived in Israel for 9 years from early age, and I wasn't able to learn Hebrew properly. I didn't feel it. I didn't love it. But through the sources, Kabbalistic sources, it illuminated for me. It shone for me. And in these letters, I find huge inspiration. And we have similar questions to this. Is it true that Hebrew in our current modern time is not revealed at all, but it has potential and people are beginning to be pulled towards it? Rav, being drawn to it, I cannot say anything about that. Maybe you know, or Senka, because he's connected to people, but I'm not connected to people myself so much. Here are the people that I'm connected with. And with them, it has a helpful effect. I don't use Hebrew. You use Kabbalistic Hebrew only, right? Well, mostly, yes. I speak and I read and write in Hebrew, of course. And I somehow... But this language is used... I use it mostly to move on, to use it instead of an external manifestation to an internal one. Where are these feelings? Where are these interactions? Upon which inner qualities of a person do they influence? So you can get there through language, Ralph. Of course you can, but that's not how I approach it. You had a... You described once an occurrence with a person, a prisoner from Siberia, who all of a sudden wrote a letter on an absolutely pure, clean Hebrew. And I was envious of this, Rafa. So go to Siberia and sit there in prison for 40 years, and maybe this will happen to you too. How did this happen? Does this sit inside of us? Rough. How many people within whom it did not occur? So, these sources, Kabbalistic sources, Torah, spiritual sources, they're written in Hebrew. Rough, because otherwise you cannot express it. Take any source that has a few thousand years old, and today's sources, you will not find one single letter that has changed. Because it cannot be. It is like in math. If you change one symbol for another, then no one will understand you, and you will not get the right answer. But here, aside from the fact that these are symbols, in when you write, when you express, when you express your sensations through the letters, through that you influence the world. Wow, amazing. So letters tie you with the internal system of the world, and it is as if you're pressing some buttons and doing something within this internal system. So we're looking at the book, and well, a book is a multi-layered system. This is apparently so when we look at these letters. By the way, there's a condition. Even when a person is simply looking at these letters, then still he's penetrated somehow. He receives some sort of illumination. Yes, this is observed. This phenomena is observed. Which is why we say that a lot of our students who are simply reading, just following with the text, it's also good. There are people who don't understand the language and are looking at the book during the lesson and not even able to follow. And it does have influence, right? This text influences. What does it mean to understand the essence of things through letters? What does it mean that the roots of Hebrew express the essence of all things? Rav, of course you're pulling us somewhere very high now. For this, we need, first of all, to break down each letter. Which elements does it consist of? Roughly speaking, each letter represents a particular correspondence of the lights of Chachmah and the lights of Chassadim, reception and bestowal, their variance and composition. So roughly speaking, how much can I give in order to receive something, or vice versa? How can I receive, and what do I need to bestow, to give for that? These things are different, though they seem the same. First of all, second, letters have a particular sequence. Some letters cannot follow freely after others. There are certain letters that cannot stand next to one another. Oh, I didn't know this. Well, later. There are some letters that have to be at the end, Mansepach. There are 22 letters, and there cannot be more or less, because such is the distance between Bina and Malchut. Letters express for us light,
Keter, Chochma, Bina.
Keter, Chochma, Bina, Zerampin, and Malchut. Until the middle of Bina, we have the upper light. And starting from the middle of Bina, this upper light starts to enter the Kelim, the desires. So until the middle of Bina, there are no letters. No letters. Light. It's abstract light. Surrounding light. No, it's not surrounding. That's something else. And then after that, there is Kli, a vessel. Here we have 9 on the back side of Bina, in the second part of Bina, 9 in Zerampin, and 4 in Malchut. Altogether, 22 letters. There cannot be more or less, because these are the number of Sfirot. In each Sfira, there is a certain letter. Sfirot, they can be represented by different letters on different degrees. And after that, there are five additional letters. These are mansipach, the letters that end the word. They give a complete picture, complete conclusion of this development from top down. And we need to so let's go deeper into this. We have Aleph, from Aleph to Tet, then from Yud to Chav. That's the next set of letters. Yud until Tzadi. These are tens. One second. I confused you. From Aleph to until Tet are units. From Yud until Tzadik are tens. From Kuf, Resh, Shin, and Tav, these are hundreds. Like this? Okay. We have come to Gematria. Maybe you can say a few words about it. How do we get to this? Units, tens, and hundreds. Yeah, Rav, these things are very much connected. Everything depends on the light. Light comes through desires. From the middle of Binah, you have Kli, desire. When the light enters these desires, it draws a Kli. So black letters on the white background, colors can be different, but this contrast, they give us this certain correspondence of light and Kli, quality of the creature and quality of the creator. In which way do they correspond to one another? And these are called letters. Letters are symbols. Each letter implies a certain intermingling of the creator with the creature. And these letters, as close as they are to us, as they're also very much concealed. I'd like to go deeper from this very flat, modern, vulgar Hebrew, which completely does not correspond to this potential of this language. Rav, this is why they didn't want to do this. There was a huge battle about bringing Hebrew as a modern speaking language, as a common language. During the times of the temple, when the nation of Israel were in a special degree, then they used this language, and they used this language only in order to explain spiritual actions. For non-spiritual actions, Aramaic language was used. Then Greek, people could use any language. There wasn't such thing, now we have our language and we have to use it. Actually, the opposite. Hebrew was used only for spiritual purposes. But commonly during different times in history, in Israel, thousands of years ago, other languages were used. Yeah, it's true. We have observed that the currently used Hebrew and the potential that the language itself has. Rav, when a certain Kabbalist came here then of the 19th century, when this proposal was made to use Hebrew as a common language, people were not agreeing to this. Why should we use the language that's used to communicate with the Creator, to interact with the Creator? Why should we use this language to talk about fish and curse at one another, etc.? Which is why these arguments and conflicts exist until now. Religious Jews don't use Hebrew except only for the studies. Because you can't use it. You don't really know it. How can you use it? People use other languages for other things. Where did Yiddish come from? It's a southern German dialect. I'd like to ask our friends, since we've said that this language is a universal language, please start preparing your questions about this. We'll wait for your questions. Rav, so this is not just a simple language. Why is it called Lashon? That's a Hebrew word for a language. Is it a written language? Is it an oral language? Is it an audible language? When I pronounce certain letters, then they influence my membrane in a different way. And then that influences different parts of my brain. And in correspondence with these five parts into which all the letters break down, in correspondence with that, they divide, break down all of my transmittery, and they break down those transmittery organs into five more parts. Forces that come to us from above, downwards, which formed and gave birth to a person, to a human, this is how they were formed, through four stages of direct light. They were born in correspondence to this, and our animalistic body, our sensory organs, were done in the same way, which is why we can say that letters built this world. It is written so, but where does it come from? Can we say that in this way that the world was built, there is a certain imprint, a certain model form of the letters through which the light shone and created this world? Rav, yes, you can say like that. And correspondingly, questions will also be very simple that we can ask, because no one can really attain this language. Rav, no, it cannot be attained. It can be attained only in the world of spiritual attainment. You can speak about it a lot. You can write PhDs on it, which is what people do. But in general, it's not clear how it can be attained, aside from the fact that it begins when it begins to speak within you. This is truly spiritual attainment. We have questions. Our main question, the world that I see before me, is a letter or a sum of letters? Rav, yes. We see the world as a certain model through which the light passes, shines. This world is kind of similar to that model. There are 22 of these models, and the light goes through them, and I don't see the light that goes through them. This all happens inside of me. What I see is a result of how that occurs within me, how that gives me a projection. A stencil. It's a stencil through which the light goes through. And what I feel is the influence of the light that passes through the stencil. And that's why it occurs that sometimes somebody all of a sudden would understand Hebrew and be able to write on it. A question. Even though I know that Hebrew needs to be learned, I cannot force myself to learn it. Rav, I don't think it needs to be studied, or I don't think that today's lesson is a lesson that will push you to learn Hebrew. It's just to tell you which encoding does Kabbalah use in order to explain to you the actions of the upper world. If we wouldn't learn about the upper worlds influence upon us, the consequences of the actions from the upper world, then we wouldn't be able to understand, know, or be interested in this language. It would be completely dead to us. This language is reawakening, and because people want to learn more and more how to speak to this upper light. And the only way people can speak with this light is through the stencil. Like on a typewriter. You know, these old typewriters, when you imprinted letters on the paper, in the same way this system works. Question: is there a point to learn Hebrew prior to crossing the Machzon, prior to the spiritual world? Rav, please understand, how will you cross the Machzon if you will not be aspiring towards any opportunity to tie yourself with the upper world? If you have an opportunity to learn through language, through letters, and these letters we learn in Kabbalah as well. We encounter these letters in Kabbalistic tests. When Kabbalists want to pass on certain spiritual state to us, they express it in through these letters, which is why I think that to aspire towards mastering this language is a key. Look, musicians must know certain number of words in Italian, and medical professionals need to know Latin a little bit. There's a language that corresponds to a vocation. Physics uses Greek, for instance. Certain elements are still needed in order to describe a science. Kabbalah is a science, uses this language. But we see that every science has its signature. The same thing here. There's a certain translation of 70. The translation of the Torah into Greek. Rav. The foundation of the world consists of 70 nations. We know this. They came through in ancient Babylon when Abraham was gathering his initial group. He appealed to these 70 families and pulled from them his students. From there, organized this group called the Jewish nation. Jewish nation does not have an earthly root, which is why it's called a holy gathering. Because it is truly a gathering, and holy because it's connected to quality of love and bestowal. So, at the foundation of the world lie the 70 nations of the world. Why 70? Because of our Zerampin, it consists of 7 Sferot, times 10 is 70. Which is why when we talk about the fact that Torah is translated into 70 languages, why 70? Because it's 70 nations. That's how it had to be. So it's not 70 sages that were translating this simultaneously. Rav, I don't know how this was done, how we created a committee that translated this. There's a lot written on this, a lot of interesting things. So why? Why? So why is this day when Torah was translated into many languages considered a day of a day of tragedy? Because it was considered that Torah was taken out of its context, out of its place. What does it mean? How should I say this? Because through this, Torah was made absent of its true essence, of its true form. What was taken from it is an external, foolish translation. And by the way, it cannot be exact. Purely in a literal way, because the spiritual cannot be translated into any other language. And even the Hebrew language, it's not a language, it's a code, as we already mentioned. These are letters that follow one another in particular sequence with particular rules. You cannot replace one with another. There exists in each word a certain root which consists of two or three letters, mostly three. And all of this, when you begin to translate it, you throw all of that away. Nothing from the language has remained. You took a simple translation from our language of a simple word. You gave this word a certain copy in our world, and you said that this is so now. Do you know how many discussions there exist about the fact that a woman is created out of a rib of a man? Because of the translation. Translation is translation. There are a lot of explanations on these things. Rob, it's a problem, of course. Will this process ever return? We know that there's a certain shattering, a process of dissemination of light downwards. Rav, this dissemination of light came until our world, but there is absolutely no analog to our world. Will there be a time when we will return the Torah back to its original? What do you mean, return? Nothing happened to Torah. It didn't shatter. Nothing happened to it. Torah is an explanation of the upper world. When a person begins to attain, he attains it. The system. But if he thinks that the system is in his pocket, in the form of some small book, and by the way, not in Hebrew, but translated into some other languages, then it does not have a spiritual essence in it. Then here it's very clear that these explanations, such foolish explanations, occur. In the beginning, God has created earth and sky. Oh, of course, very clear. Look at the sky. Look at the ground. Very clear. The least clear book is written in the most clear human language. Don't let a person who does not desire to work on himself, don't let him close to the spiritual world. Question: why in Hebrew letters are written from right to left? That's how the upper light is disseminated, from up down and from right to left. This is not something that's clear for us, but in other languages it's similar, either from up down or from right to left. There are circular writings as well. Question: there are a lot of words in Hebrew which are similar to other languages. is there a connection? It's very possible. Rav says that from Hebrew, a lot of words made their way into other languages because Jews were dispersed through the entire world, and it's popular that various words have made their way into those languages. When this international language was formed, Esperanto, there was a little bit of Hebrew in there as well. At our Hebrew course, student asked about these dots and lines below the letters and above the letters. There are various explanations for this, that these symbols were created after the destruction of the temple to maintain how the Torah sounds. So these symbols were created by a family from Tveria, Masoretes, in order to record the Torah, or not, because Torah itself is written without these symbols. It doesn't matter. Torah doesn't have a lot of these symbols. Because when you read the Torah, you need to be able to feel it with your internal and external instruments. I need to know how I sing the text, where I pause and where I don't pause. A person is unable to speak in one breath, right? Mainly, this vocalization is for reading. I inhaled, and then I read, and then I exhale. No, here, while reading the Torah, I need to correctly control my lungs. Like an organ is played, I press certain parts of my lungs. After that, I turn on 5 parts of my vocal organs: mouth, throat, teeth, tongue, lips. Otherwise, I'm not vocalizing anything. In this way, the Torah was read. This is why the letters that remained that we have written down, it's a shortened version of this humongous amount of information that a person received in order to read. I have the sensation the more I learn this language, the more and more it takes me inside, the deeper it takes me inside. Keith has a question. Thank you for such an interesting topic. It seems very fundamental to me. As a continuation of what we've heard from you, what is the correct thing to desire when we connect to these sources, to these letters, until we have mastered this method in its entirety? What do I need to desire? How to connect to this emotionally? Rav, what's given to us? Is given to us in order for a person, regardless of how much he knows or understands or hears, or has mastered the Hebrew language or has no relevance to it at all, is given to us only in order to tie a person to the Creator, any person. And it doesn't matter what he knows or understands. Which is why with every reading or studying, regardless what part of Kabbalah you're studying, we need to think about this. How can I attain the most minimal connection with the Creator? Not out of being smart or wise. You'll see the simple, even a naive attitude towards the text works. What we're talking about now is we're talking about how and through what additional tools can we, which additional tools we can use in order to hook ourselves to the sources, to the upper, and begin to aim it at ourselves in different ways. I have a question. In our Hebrew course, we break down into small groups, and all of the assignments we conduct in these little groups. Everything is aimed for a person not to study on their own, but to study in groups. Rav, oh, this is very important. This is more important than even studying Hebrew, because through this, you will learn Hebrew. It's true, the effects are incomparable. When people read together letters one after another, they truly receive an illumination. Rav, this is very, very good. Very good. I started from complete zero, and now I read and write and speak and love my group. She finished with love my group. This is very important. They don't. They remain in touch after the course. The language ties them together. Look at one lady could have done. What happened with this group before Tzipora appeared, and what was with Tzipora before the team came together? I don't know. I know you for many years. We have a great team. Great team. Every person is checked. Every person gets homework. To every person, a particular team member is attached to, who checks how they're doing. Every homework is checked and commented on with great love and care. This doesn't exist anywhere else. Rav, I've always supported her. Yes. Language. Which language do you think on? Hebrew or Russian? Rav, I don't think in the language in general. Maybe if I think, then it's Hebrew, but when I write a tweet, then I think in Russian when I write, during the moment when I'm writing it. But when I don't write, I don't have words. When I try to express through words what I feel, then because most of my knowledge is from the Hebrew text, then I do think in Hebrew. But if I switch to the Russian audience, like you guys, then I don't translate language in my head from Hebrew to Russian. I speak in my native language, which is Russian. Speak and think. Even the Israelis are against lessons being conducted in the Russian language. You can express some things which are very close to your heart in Russian. Well, yeah, it's my native language. Question. If the majority of humanity would be speaking in Hebrew and it would be an international language instead of English, would the world improve? Get better? Rav, no. No, 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 no. I don't think so. The most important thing is one's aspiration. You see, you can fool people somewhere in Hebrew. You can corner them and nothing will happen. The formal usage of this language doesn't give us anything, it doesn't say anything. A simple question that you usually answer. In which language is Abraham's book, The Secret Angel, was written? In Hebrew. It did occur that books were written Aramaic. It's the opposite, it's the backside of Hebrew. It's the opposite side, inverse, rather. It's the inverse of Hebrew. The letters are the same, but they're opposite. It's called the backside of Hebrew. But it's not the backside. It's not like you read instead of day, you read night. But actually, yes, that is true. You read from the day, you read night. But it's not in through semantics. It's not semantically done. It's the opposite. Question. Written letters are different than cursive letters are different than typed print letters. How was it written in the past? It wasn't written in cursive, it was written in print letters. Maybe Sephora can give you an answer, but cursive letters, I don't know when they occurred in history and what happened. Anywhere where it's talked about the meaning of letters, then what's meant are the print letters. Are there certain evidence when cursive letters appeared? I didn't research this, but I will, rough, because everywhere in books, in text, you see print letters. Sometimes I ask my students to do their homework in cursive. It's just a tool, but the print letters are primary. Our students constantly ask, where did Binyan come from? All of these kinds of things. Can we talk about this? If someone would ever explain to me what Binyan is, Rav, Hebrew is a very mathematical language. Is there anything popular in pop culture about this? Because this is very interesting. This is a language that is completely opposite to other languages. There are two opposite forces, the light of Chachma and the light of Chasadim, and the interaction between them. The interaction between them gives us everything else. This light is in the root of everything. But when this light starts to interact, it starts to represent the foundation of the future Kli. This foundation of the future Kli, it can either be a single letter. Are there words that consist of single letters, or two letters, or three letters, right? This is either one line, two lines, or three lines. By the way, they're formulated in such a way, and they correspond to one another in such a way, this is the law of nature, that this one cannot correspond to that one, this one can respond to that one, or can, just like another language, it's freely done. But in this case, these are not rules, but laws of the world, which is why roots, binyan, so-called. Binyan is a building, is a foundation, a structure. This word means structure. It, in an absolute way, expresses the root, the foundation. What does that mean? What kind of lights in correspondence with desires exist there? There is just light and a desire. Light from the Creator and a desire, intention, the reflective light from the creature. In which correspondence do they exist with one another, which can only be done in singular, two lines or three lines? As a rule, these are two lines, and in very special circumstances, these are three lines. All of these questions, they're very mathematical. There cannot be any free-flowing moves, motions, directions here. In modern language, modern Hebrew language that occurred about 100 years ago, you can take certain freedoms. There is a certain academy that deals with Hebrew, and it makes up whatever we need for the modern version of this language so that you can express certain things. because in the root there are a lot of the words that don't exist. Of course, you don't have Kabbalists that sit on that board who know the spiritual root of the word and then can express it in modern language. We have another question. Almata. Hello, Raf. Does Hebrew represent a certain middle line between the letter and symbols? On the lower level, it's just a pronunciation. On the spiritual level, it is a certain imprint. I don't know. I didn't study anything about hieroglyphics. I can just say one thing. As the foundation of all ancient languages lies the connection of a person with the Creator. Hebrew transmits a more complete, the most complete connection, which is why Torah is written in it, and other spiritual sources, but we cannot say that there is no connection of a person with the Creator through Chinese hieroglyphics or Egyptian hieroglyphics or Ethiopian hieroglyphics. We cannot say this. Still, there is, because any person, any ancient person that began to feel how to express his thoughts, his opinions, his feelings, it still came from the Creator. It didn't just come to him out of nowhere. Which is why every language has in its way a spiritual root, which have been corrupted or disappeared. This language, Hebrew, is the only language that has remained, as Sipor said in the beginning of this program. This is why Torah is written in this language and other books through which humanity have realized their own spiritual sources. Which is why we need to add here, we simply don't know the correct roots and connections of every language, every ancient language, foundational languages. As a connection with the Creator, but it certainly is there, because nothing came for no reason. And then scientists come along and using their smarts, in quotation marks, quote-unquote smarts, and they began to break all of this down based on what they think. And this connection to ancient languages, to the roots of these ancient languages was broken. Any connection was broken. We have a question from Rostov. They don't hear us. Another question. There are certain words where certain sentences where words are replaced. There are words that are opposite to one another. Why the opposite? Because they come from one spiritual root. And it depends on the person how to interpret them. In the book of Zohar, one of the most interesting titles is called the Book of Amnon Saba. It's the most interesting. Why is it so central, Rav? Because it talks about the formulation of the letters. How can people express revelation of the Creator to a person? And then it talks about things like a certain letter came out and said, told the Creator, create this world for me. What does it mean that a letter came out and said, Rav? A letter is a letter imaging. An image of a letter is an egoistic revelation of the Creator to the creatures. but it is considered that a book in this form can still express the inner essence of the Creator to the creatures. You must create the world with me. And then the Creator tells this letter, you are beautiful, but from you a certain word begins. What does this answer mean? You are beautiful, but... Rav, there are certain expressions in this world that don't have the right to exist. No. Is a life possible with a particular letter? No. Can there be life without death? No. Can there be good without kindness without hatred? No. There needs to be correct correspondence, which is why the Creator answers that a world cannot be created with any other letter aside from Bet, let's say, because this letter is not connected to anything else. So if a Creator creates a place for the Creator, then there is a place for everything else. Tzipora is learning. This is what it means to teach Hebrew. There are a lot of questions about the language itself. What is the meaning of Mansapach? Something simpler, please. I live in Israel for a few years and I study Kabbalah, but it's very difficult for me to learn Hebrew, even though I understand that it's absolutely important to study Kabbalah. Is this just laziness or is there a spiritual reason? Rav, there are people who are good with languages and those that cannot stand it. Rav, for me, for example, it's impossible to learn languages. If I wouldn't systematically learn Kabbalah, then I wouldn't know Hebrew. I worked in the army for 4 years. Aside from curse words, I didn't know anything else. I didn't even know that they were curse words. I spoke to people like this on the street. They look at me as an intellectual and looked at me like I'm some crazy person. I look at your books and I see how much you wrote in the books about this. So you understood that this was necessary for you to learn. Rough. Yes, above each word, about each line, I had 2 more lines of my own writings. I lived in Israel before studying Kabbalah for many years and I hated this language. I simply didn't speak it. But only the need to go into the sources such that it awakens a person. In Kabbalah, a person breaks himself, for sure, because he begins to understand that this is important. Because through this, he can enter. And it's a secret, it's a code, through which you can find out a lot of things. Ever expanding. It's language, as well in the sources, it shines in a different way, Rav, in every word. If you see a certain correspondence of letters with one another, you see a melody that relates to you, the inner meaning of this world. What would you wish to our participants, Rav? First of all, I would wish them Happy New Year, a good New Year. The year 2019 will be very difficult. Humanity is not hoping for anything good. So let's hang on tightly to one another through letters, through our heartfelt communication with one another without letters or anything. We will evoke upon us the upper light so that it would surround us and embrace us. And everything would be clear for us without letters and words. Everything we need to understand about our eternal existence and would be eternally floating in this awesome light that is gradually revealed to us through these great letters. Usually it's Boris Bozarkovsky makes announcements for us, and I'll still announce that we have a congress in February, from 19th to 21st of February. This big congress, please come to us. We will be very happy to see you here and accept you here. Register and please come to our congress. We'll be very happy. Once again, happy. Thank you to our dear Sephora. This is what she's doing is huge. It's huge. One more student is saying, reading Hebrew in Zohar in Hebrew is already being realized. Who has inspired us? Rav. Who did? You did, Rav. You said you should study this. Thank you to all and all of you.